نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم ما بعد. قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن المجيد بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن عدة الشهور عند الله 12 شهرا في كتاب الله يوم خلق السماوات والأرض منها أربعة حرم ذلك الدين القيم فلا تظلموا فيهن أنفسكم وقاتلوا المشركين كافة كما يقاتلونكم كافة واعلموا أن الله مع المتقين، صدق الله العظيم. علماء اکرام، elders and dear brothers, indeed it's a great favor Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu ta'ala sha'nu that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, in spite of all our preoccupations, we've been busy in our businesses, in our homes, different preoccupations, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has instilled within us that love and muhabbat for deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That in spite of us being busy daily, especially a day of Jumu'ah, which is a very busy day, but because we have the spark of iman within our hearts, this spark of iman spurs us on to leave all our surroundings, our environments. When a person is amassing the dunya, the bank balance is increasing. And at the same time, when the call for adhan is given, then that desire and that muhabbat and that love of the person to increase his bank balance of the akhirat increases within his heart. And he leaves all that and he comes to the masjid with this intention: Ya Allah, that I am coming towards the masjid on this beautiful day of Jumu'ah, which we know is such a day which is even a bigger day than Eid also. The virtues are very, very great. That a person comes with the intention, Ya Allah, definitely there is something in the masjid for us to take back. That every week we come to the masjid, definitely there is something to learn and take back, included in our daily lives and our daily chores, how we can better ourselves week after week after week. And we see briefly to explain, which are called A'mali Sitta, the six acts of the Riyah of Jumu'ah, in which it is mentioned in many authentic ahadith and kitab of ahadith. Very basically, if a person will carry out the six acts on the day of Jumu'ah, then we will see how the virtue of the day will be enhanced and how a person will derive maximum benefit from the day of Jumu'ah. As we know, we are all, what we will say, greedy, and we all are zealous to get the benefits of the dunya. We go out, all out. So too for the a'mal and the virtues of deen, a person should give his life for this. So briefly, the Nabi explains in the hadith that if a person will do six things on the day of Jumu'ah, then for every step the person will take towards the masjid, he will gain the reward of 1 year's reward of salah and ibadah. And on every step he will take, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant him 1 year's reward of roza. And the basic six amal mentioned in the hadith, which most of us do, alhamdulillah, and if not, we should try to implement this, is number one, to make ghusl and to wear clean clothes before coming to the masjid. Thereafter, for a person to walk to the masjid as far as possible. Because nowadays we are staying quite far away, distance away from the masjid. Therefore, ulama made it very, very easy for us. As one of the Hamid Sahib explains, that inshallah by every turn of the wheel of our car, we will get the reward inshallah. And as far as possible, if you can, park a little distance away from the masjid, take few steps in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For every step will be a reward of 1 year salah and ibadah, and 1 year's roza. So firstly, to make ghusl, to wear clean clothes. Thereafter, to walk to the masjid. Thirdly, to come early to the masjid. At least before the least should be before the second adhan. We see the previously our Salaf al-Salihin, the pious people, they should make i'tikaf in the masjid on Thursday night. From Maghrib they should start the i'tikaf, and they should stay the whole night in the masjid at preparation for Jumu'ah Salah. Then the time came when the decline came within the Ummah, then people began to come at Isha time, then at Tahajjud time, then at Fajr time, then at Ishraq time, then at Chas time. And alas, night is our zamana. We become few minutes before the adhan. Whereas we should endeavor to come earlier to the masjid. The earlier a person will come, the more reward he will gain. And very important to note is that the malaika who have register in their hands recording the musallis who are coming to Jumu'ah Salah, they stand at the door of the entrance of the masjid. So a person who is standing outside, out of the boundaries of the masjid, or if the masjid gets full, the area next to that, if he is standing out of that area, he will not be recorded as a person in the masjid. So it's very, very important for people to come into the masjid and to fill the surf from the front, going to the right, then to the back, starting from behind the imam. So as far as possible, to come walking to the masjid. And when the person comes to the masjid, fourthly, he should sit as nearest as possible to the imam. So that his attention will be fully focused upon what the imam is saying, and he will gain maximum benefit from what the imam is saying. And fifthly, he should listen attentively to the khutbah of the imam. Even though we don't understand the khutbah is in Arabic, but for so many years we are listening to the khutbah. At least we go to an alim of deen and ask him a brief translation of the khutbah. But nearly every week it's the same khutbah. So to get a brief translation of what the imam is saying, this will benefit us greatly, inshallah. And sixthly, ulama explain, when we says in the hadith, that not to fiddle during the khutbah, not to do any useless acts. Because you know in the time of Sahaba radiallahu anhum, that in the Masjid al-Nabawi, they were pebbles and they were sand in the masjid, in the old masjid. So people had the habit of playing with the sand, or writing something into the sand, or playing with the pebbles. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says that person who is not fiddle, is not fidget around, play with his beard, with his clothing, with his hat, I put things right around him, then this person will gain the full reward of this. That is 1 year's reward of salah and ibadah, and 1 year's thawab of roza. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq to make amal. You see, my dear brothers and elders, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala has given us this great boon and ni'mat of iman. And if you look around us, that is a certain principle and usul in life, in every sphere of life. That if a person doesn't understand what is the maqsad and purpose and aim of a certain task or job or whatever he is carrying out, if he doesn't know what is his goal, then he will not fulfill that task. Or he will do that task, but not to the fullest. Because he does not have a goal before him. He does not know what is the maqsad of his goal. In the same ulama give an example of three people in this world. Like they say, this dunya is actually our foreign land. And akhirat is our watan, our asli and our original place. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent us from Jannah to this world with the intention to return to Jannah. So Allah Ta'ala sent us to Jannah in this world to make the effort of iman to return to Jannah. So we see people in this world of three categories basically. One is that person who goes to a foreign land, like we see many foreigners coming into our country, and they will work and they will amass wealth and they will make the money. Thereafter they will take all this money and they will go back home. Maybe it will come in news there, they will change it to their currency. They will take the money back to their land. And then you get a second type of a person who will come to a foreign land, he will make an effort, he will work, he will make a lot of money also. But before he returns to his original homeland, then he will buy all the luxuries of this country. He will buy curios and he will show the people when he goes back home that this is what they have in that country. And that people will respect him, mashallah, you've gone so far and you've done so and so. That's the second category of person. The third category, ulama explain, that person who comes to a foreign land, that he works, he earns money, and when he goes back home to his watan, to his homeland, he takes some of the things of this country and also some currency. So these are basically three types of people we get in this world when it comes to the dunya. So ulama explained that these three people, that a person, no matter how hard he works, but once his eyes closes and lies in another meeting to the Qabristan, all these things remain behind, all in this foreign land. Nothing will go with him to the opposite and into the akhirat, into the world of the akhirat. Now when a person understands what is the maqsad of living in this world, and he will know what is his goal in life, then what he is reaching for, then a person will make effort accordingly. Like we see the life of Sahaba radiallahu anhum, because they tarbiyat and they were nurtured by none other Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and the iman in their heart was most firm. And the environment around Makkah al-Mukarramah, in spite of him being against all odds, they still held fast into the iman and they did not let go. When they came to Medina Munawwara, we see the effort they made of the atmosphere. Today we see in the world that one of the efforts made among the Muslims especially is the effort of snatching the ID of the Muslims. The identity that I am a Muslim. And Sahaba Ikram, we see when they came to the identity, what pride they took over the identity. Today we see in the media, we see outwardly, we see the fashion, we see the style, everything is aimed at the idea of a Muslim. Let's forget you're a Muslim. When a person goes to his business early in the morning, 8 o'clock, and he returns 5 o'clock, for that time, duration, while he's in the business, illa masha'Allah, the person forgets that I'm a Muslim. Now I'm a businessman. Even sometimes they come to the person's tongue, they talk business, they don't talk anything else. That I'm a businessman. So, this whole atmosphere that has been created, that forget you're a Muslim, outwardly you can be a Muslim. But within your heart, your mindset, this is such a thing which kuffar have snatched away from us. And we see Sahaba radiallahu anhum, when it came to them, about their identity, who they were, what pride they took over this. We see Sahaba radiallahu anhum, when introducing themselves, or when being introduced, we see in various ahadith, in kitabs of tariq, also it is explained, that Sahabi will say, Ana Badari. I'm a Sahabi who took part in the battle of Badr. I'm a Badari. I'm from amongst the Jahideen of Uhud, or Khandaq, or Tabuk. These are the titles they used. They took pride in this. That I took part in Badr, Uhud, Khandaq, Tabuk. I never missed one battle in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We see also the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, when it came to preserve the identity and the morals and the values, that at one time Sahaba radiallahu anhum was in the battlefield, and while digging the trench, in the battle of Khandaq, the battle of the trench, we see what fervor they had in their heart, for the deen of Islam. What love they had for the deen of Islam. That in very, very beautiful poetry form they say, نَحْنُ الَّذِينَ بَايَعُوا مُحَمَّدًا عَلَى الْجِهَادِ مَا بَقِينَ أَبَدًا. So beautifully they say that we are those people who have pledged allegiance on the hands of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to strive in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until our mouth comes. They were proud of this, that they are those people who have pledged allegiance, our lives, our living, our death, will be everything for the sake of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We see a beautiful incident of Suhaib bin Sinan al-Rumi radiallahu anhu, a sahabi of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that what love he had for the deen, what love he had to maintain his identity as a Muslim, that he was prepared to give everything, all his wealth. It is mentioned that he came to Makkah al-Mukarramah from Rome. And when he came to Makkah al-Mukarramah, he was very poor. He didn't have much wealth by him. And he began to do business. And after some time, he became quite affluent, quite wealthy. And in that interim, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had left for Madinatul Munawwara. But before Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam left, he had become a Muslim. And he had intention to go and join Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam Madinatul Munawwara. That is mentioned when it came to his heart now that he should make hijrah and he should go to Madinatul Munawwara just to save his iman, just to keep his identity, to keep his character, his morals. It is mentioned that he left quietly Makkah al-Mukarramah, but as he was leaving Makkah al-Mukarramah, the Quraysh came and apprehended him, and they stopped him. And they asked him, "Oh, Suhaib, where are you going to?" He said, "I'm going to Madinah al-Munawwara, and no one ever stopped me. Because you know what kind of an archer I am. There you come near me, each one of you will take you on." And they said, "We will not let you go." He said, "That is the case, if you wish." But they told him also, "When you came to Makkah al-Mukarramah, you were a poor man. And now you made money in Makkah al-Mukarramah, now you are leaving." So he says, that if that is the case, then whatever wealth I have, you can have it, you can take it. I will show you where I have buried it, and I'll go to Makkah al-Mukarramah. Imagine, my dear brother, all his belongings, whether it can be his beautiful home, his beautiful car. He says, "Take everything. I have no care about it. Then you can have it." Whereas today, just to get a few possessions of the dunya, we are prepared to sacrifice even our identity. When it comes to our businesses, it comes to our daily routine and our preoccupations. Where a hadith comes to mind and says, the Messenger says in a hadith, that hasten a good a'mal before such fitna comes, that every fitna will be darker than the next fitna. It will become darker and darker and darker. And a person will pass the morning in the condition of iman. By the night he will lose his iman. That he will lose such a'mal during the day, that by the night he will lose his iman. And he will not even know about it. Or he will wake up, he will spend the night as a mu'min, and by the morning he will be a kafir. We see so many people passing the nights after nights after nights in front of the box, in different activities. By the morning, Allah knows best what is the condition of our iman. As the hadith Sharif mentioned, that person who spends the morning without waking up for Fajr Salah is a flag bearer of shaitan. So it shows the condition of a person's iman. And the hadith Sharif says, يَبِيعُ دِينَهُ بِعَرَضٍ مِّنَ الدُّنْيَا. And the cause for this loss of iman will be that he will sell his deen for a little gain of dunya. Just to sell a few goods, to sell a few things, to make a quick deal, he will sell his deen. To make a little bit of dunya, this will lose iman. But we see the Sahabi radiallahu anhu, he prepares to give up everything for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he goes to Madinatul Munawwara. Before he reaches Madinatul Munawwara, because of his qurbani, because of his love for deen, the love to preserve his identity, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals wahi upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And as he enters into Madinatul Munawwara, he comes to Majlis al-Nabawi. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was already informed that Suhaib is coming. He sacrificed everything in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now make intizar for him, make his istiqbal and wait for him. So he mentions, he says, I am coming to Madinatul Munawwara. And as I enter into the masjid, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is sitting near the minbar and he's facing towards the door. As I enter, he begins to smile at me. And he says, Rabiha al-bi'u ya Aba Yahya, Rabiha al-bi'u ya Aba Yahya, O Abu Yahya, O Suhaib, you have done an excellent deal. You have contacted an excellent deal. And Allah Ta'ala reveals the ayat, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَشْرِي نَفْسَ ابْتِغَاءَ مَرْضَاتِ اللَّهِ. There are those people who sell their lives just to gain the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Regarding him, this was revealed. Just because he had jazba and the zeal. So to get to our point, my dear brothers, that this whole mindset and keeping our identity, we see, we know that on the doorstep is Muharram, our new year. And the year comes and it goes, and many of us don't even know that Muharram is coming. Not that we have to celebrate Muharram or anything, but the point is that we see that when it comes to our Islamic calendar, how many of us have implemented this within our lives? A few years ago, Abdul Hamid Sahib had mentioned that a few years ago, a certain a council, a committee in Switzerland of Muslims got together and they had a Mashwara meeting and they decided among themselves that we know UNO is a non-biased organization, that they don't follow really any religion outwardly. So for that year, whichever that year they were discussing, why don't we have a suggestion for them or give them an option that for that very year they use the Islamic calendar instead of the Christian calendar. So they send these faxes all over the world to different institutions. So this one Allah says that before we can tell the kuffar, we have to bring this into our lives, which is a forgotten sunnah actually. Now that when it comes to Islamic calendar, how much do we know about our Islamic calendar? Our history is rich, and all the history we have is based upon the Islamic calendar, which is the lunar calendar. Well, you see in our daily life, all our plans, our meetings, is all done according to the Christian calendar. And as we know, the Christian calendar is based on the Roman calendar. And that too, there are errors in it. They have to adjust the calendar once again to make it come right. But we see the Islamic calendar, there's so much of rich history behind it. There's so much of thinking behind it. And there's a whole value system behind the Islamic calendar. This is also in maintaining our identity. That once a person will adopt this, then we will see the small, small things in life will make an environment in the person's life also. He'll begin to think like a Muslim. Today we see the kuffar have taken everything away from us, even our hearts and our minds also. At least our bodies are in our businesses, in our preoccupations, but our minds, our hearts should be always in deen. That we see a person when he opens a new business or he's looking for a home, at what speed his mind works. What speed? How can I make a deal? How can I do this? Look at this house for sale, for sale. And the mind just spins. When will the time come when our mind will become spinning for the fikr of deen, for the effort of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So we see when it comes to the Islamic calendar, there's not much time to go into the history of how it was initiated. But very briefly, as Umar radiallahu anhu, in the 16th year of Hijri, which is more or less 2.5 years after his Khilafat, on the advice or on the suggestion of the Ali radiallahu anhu, he began the Islamic calendar. And actually what had, before the Islamic calendar, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum used to count the years according to different incidents. Like they had Amul Fil, the year of the elephants, which Abraha had come. So according to different years, what incident had taken place, they would call that year by according to that incident. Then as Umar radiallahu anhum decided that now the time has come where we should set our own calendar. Then they thought, so he took different rays and opinions from Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Some Sahaba ikram gave the ray that we should start the calendar as a Christian calendar. The one opinion was regarding that we take it according to the Jewish calendar, but he wasn't too happy about this. And then Allah Ta'ala put in his heart that now you should start the calendar from Hijrat. From the time that Mr. Sama made Hijrat to Madinah to Munawwara. And ulama explained this very deep significance in this. Why from the Hijrat? You could have taken it from the birth of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that a beautiful son had come into the world at that time, that enlightened the whole world at large. Why not the birth of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Or why not the demise of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? But rather the Hijrat of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The ulama explained that one of the significance of wisdom behind this was that Sahaba Ikram at that time when they were making the hijrat, it was actually now a differentiation between haqq and batil, between falsehood and batil. That today now we are separating from the land of kufr and we're going to the land of iman. So Sahaba Ikram, whenever they will take the Islamic names on their tongue, they will remember that the struggle between haqq and batil. So that was the reason Sahaba Ikram, Hazrat Umar had initiated the Islamic calendar from the Hijrah. And also every time Sahaba Ikram thought about the Hijrah, he was always reminded to them that it was struggle they went through in Makkah al-Mukarramah and how they left Makkah al-Mukarramah, they left all the belongings behind and was sacrificed they given for them. Today because we have lost Islamic calendar in our daily lives, the spirit has also been lost. Therefore, Allah explained very, very simply, a person has to try to implement this within his life, so that this mizaj and temperament and mindset and identity of a Muslim can be preserved once again. Because slowly, slowly these things are leaving us. So very simply ulama explained that one of the very simplest way for a person to keep track of the Islamic calendar, whereas you know the Christian calendar, we have it all over. We have it in our businesses, we have it at home. If we ask a Christian, he'll know this Christian date. But even we ask a Muslim, what is your Islamic date? He has no knowledge of it. But he's a Muslim. But he has no knowledge of it. There's something for a person to think about. But very simply, ulama explained that to keep track of the Islamic calendar, we all have watches on us, most of us, that have dates also. We synchronize our watches, that I am a Muslim first of all. So the date I keep on my watch, the Islamic date, naturally, because I am a Muslim. That's the simplest way, ulama explained, to synchronize our watches according to the Islamic calendar. Secondly, ulama say, that if possible, we usually keep calendars at home, in our businesses, to at least keep the Islamic calendar, not only at home, you see the namaz time, the expiry time of Fajr, or Zawal, also to keep in our businesses also. And thirdly, ulama say, that in our daily chores, in our businesses, when you are making out receipts, when we are writing out checks in the check foil, and different whatever invoices we make out, to write the Islamic date first. Because some say, pehle mein Musliman, first I'm a Muslim. Then you can take a Christian date, no problem. When a person has put the date on any receipt, whatever work he's doing, obviously now if it's an official document, it might be of a problem. But anything besides that, a person is planning a nikah. So in the home also when you're discussing according to the Islamic date. Because many of us, illa mashallah, we hardly know the Islamic year also, the name of the months also. Which month is the fifth month, the sixth month, the seventh month. When it comes to the Christian calendar, we know all of them. So when a person is planning his holiday, planning some trip somewhere, a person is going in Jamaat also. And he's giving his name for Tashkil, to give his name according to the Islamic calendar. I'm reading Ramadan or Muharram or Safar. So this now will create a whole different environment, preserving one's identity. But today when a person will say to him, I'm ready in so and so month, we already get a shock. Actually, he's thinking like a Muslim. So that's why it's so important, my dear brothers and elders, that we implement this within our lives, to maintain our identity. When we see in India, when those earthquake took place in Ahmedabad, there were so many Muslims. We couldn't even recognize them, they were Muslims or Hindus. There are certain things a Muslim should do, we should carry on him. They should recognize him as a Muslim, as a ummati. When we have the Islamic date, or basically also we carry on ourselves, if the miswak, the person knows he's a Muslim, or a tasbih, an idr bottle, all these are practical things which we can implement, will cost nothing whatsoever. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq to make amal. May Allah Ta'ala instill within us the true spirit of iman of sahaba radiallahu anhum, and to bring complete sharia into our lives, into our family lives, into our children, and to protect from all the fitnas around us, and let us all make a fervent and an intention to create this environment of deen around us, in our schools, in our homes, wherever we are. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. Subhanallah.